you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Holy and Almighty God, we give thanks this morning for your word. God, we pray that it might stir something new within us. That in this new year, this beginning, we might feel you beginning something new in us. God, I pray your strength in this message, that these words be your words and nothing of my own, that they be a demonstration of your Spirit's power. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a new series this morning called Quitting Church, where we're going to explore over the next several weeks the different reasons why people say they have given up on church. And this isn't just about naming those things that people say, but it's also about talking about how we as a church body that seeks to live and love like Jesus can be different than those things. About how we can bring healing into our communities and be a place for those who have been alienated by the church or who had never been a part of it to come and join with us in being the body of Christ on earth. And so this morning we begin with, I quit church because church people are judgmental hypocrites. Okay, let me tell you, as a preacher, that's a hard place to start. So, I mean, I spent all week this week preparing a sermon for a group of people who come to church, most of you, every week, who probably call yourselves church people. And if that's not enough, I am a pastor by vocation, which means that I work as a part of the church. If that doesn't make me church people, I don't know what does. And so here I am at the beginning of a new year, preparing this sermon and wondering what I'm going to say about this claim that is made about us so often. And that forced me to sit with this really uncomfortable question. Why? Why do some people outside of the church, those who have been a part of the church at one time but then have left, why? Why do they perceive me, or you, us, church people, in this way? Why is this our label, judgmental hypocrites? And what are we doing or not doing to change that? You know, it would be easy for us to ignore it. It would be easy for us to say, oh, that's them. That's really their problem. Except that our God calls us to go into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, of all the people we meet. Which means this is our opportunity to be different, to be Christ people in the world, to make disciples, even of those who may have been hurt by the church before. And so there's a place in the Gospel of Matthew where the author depicts Jesus himself using this same word, hypocrites, to talk about the religious leaders of his day. If you open your Bibles or your Bible app on your phone to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, we're going to begin in verses 23 and 24 this morning, but I'm going to stay in this chapter throughout this sermon, so if you want to leave your Bible open or the app open on your phone, you can refer back to that as we go through this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you or an app on your phone, the words will be on the screen behind me. So hear what Jesus has to say. Verses 23 and 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. I don't know if Jesus ever actually used that word to describe people or that strong language. But I do know that Jesus spent a lot of time in his ministry trying to teach the people who followed the Jewish faith, and in particular their leaders, to do everything to live their lives through the lens of love of God and love of neighbor, to attend to the weightier matters of the law through that lens. I also know that when the author of the Gospel of Matthew was writing this book of our scripture, there was an intense conflict in his or her community between Jewish leaders who had embraced Jesus Christ as the Messiah and those who had not. And so maybe the author here, in the midst of heated debate, has taken some liberty and used some very strong language to describe those with whom he disagrees. Or maybe Jesus really talked like this. I don't know the answer to that question, but I don't need to know it to know that we can learn something from this chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I don't need the answer to that question to know that we see friction consistently in our scriptures between what God was doing and is doing in Jesus Christ and what the people who claimed themselves as God's people were doing in the world. There was friction through Jesus' ministry, and there continues to be a friction between those two things today. See, like the Pharisees and the scribes, as they're depicted in this passage of Scripture, we too often miss what matters. We too often miss what matters. And so if you're here today as a person who's been hurt by the church or by church people, I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we missed what matters in your life. I want you to know that here at Stonebridge UMC, we're focused on living and loving like Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and by God's sanctifying grace, I believe we can and will do just that. And so we love you and want you here, but we know that we're not perfect. So we ask for your grace and mercy, and we offer ours to you. Because Jesus says in our scripture today, "For you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." And I know that that's not just about Pharisees and scribes 2,000 years ago. But it's also about us. Jesus says that we have missed what matters. What does matter? What matters is that we focus on our own way of being in the world. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus says this. It's in verse 4. They, the Pharisees and the scribes, tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. Jesus says that these leaders are so focused on what the other people are doing or are not doing, on how they're adhering to the law or not, and that they never are turning the microscope on them, their own selves. They're never looking at their own relationship with God, at how they're attending to the things that God has asked them to attend to. In other parts of the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus tell us all we should be wary of concerning ourselves with the behaviors of others. He says something like, you might want to mind that log in your own eye before you go telling your neighbor about the speck in hers. Jesus again and again reminds us not to sit in the seat of judgment. That it's not our place to decide how faithful another person is being, but instead we're to focus on how faithful we are being. To be focused on how we are being in the world. And part of faithful living is participating in a church community where we hold one another accountable where we ask others to help keep us on track, and we get the holy privilege of doing that for other people among us. But having a Christian fellowship with another person in the church, where we have an agreement of mutual accountability, is very different than making ourselves the accountability partner of everyone we meet. Thank you for laughing. I like it when you laugh at my jokes. Hi, I'm Courtney. I'm here to be your accountability partner. Point out all your flaws, failures, and mistakes. That's not what Christian accountability is about. But we do that oftentimes so we don't have to deal with our own flaws and failures and mistakes. It is so much easier for me. Confession time for the pastor. I'm human. We are not exempt from being human. It is so much easier for me to look around and see all the things that other people are not as good at, or that they're doing wrong, or the things that they should do differently. And it is so painful to take that microscope and flip it around and look at myself. And yet, I think Jesus is asking us to take a good long look at ourselves, and to take a good long look at when and why we're making judgments about other people. Because if we're pointing out flaws and failures and mistakes of others so that we don't have to deal with our own, that's judgment. And if we're pointing out flaws and failures and mistakes of other people so that we can feel better about ourselves, that's judgment. And here our scripture tells us, don't miss what matters. Focus on your way of being in the world. Focus on your own living and loving like Jesus. That's what matters. And if we do that, then friends, we will not live into the expectation that church people are judgmental hypocrites. And instead, we'll live into the expectation of our God to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. But now, we can talk about focusing on our own way of being in the world, but we must be careful that we don't get too focused on ourselves. This is another way we slip down the slippery slope. Sometimes we live into the judgmental hypocrite label by being focused on self-recognition. By our way of being in the world, being oriented toward gaining self-acclaim. Jesus says in verses 5 through 7 this about these Pharisees and scribes, or should I say, about many of us, much of the time. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have people call them rabbi. Wow. They love to be called rabbi. Scripture reminds us that we can become oriented and focused on self-recognition even in our faith practice. That we can use our faith practices to put ourselves on a pedestal. That we can use our faith practice to help ourselves feel superior to others. Sometimes we might use our faith practice to seek praise from other people, to be told how pious and faithful and what a good Christ follower we are. The verses 23 and 24 that I read at the beginning today talk about how these leaders were willing to pay their tithe, to offer their first fruits. Of course they were. Then everyone could see them being faithful to the law. Everyone could idolize them. And of course they wanted people to call them rabbi. That was a very prestigious title. You know what? So do we. Oh, we want to be called rabbi, whatever that word looks like in our lives today. We want applause. We want to be lifted up. We want to feel good about ourselves. That's all true. You know, we like to post things on social media, or we like to share in our Christmas letter that we send in the Christmas card about how prayer or attending worship or Bible study or serving in the community has transformed us, or how we have these great experiences. And that's good, so long as we ask ourselves this question first: why am I doing that? If I'm doing it for the glory of God, great. But we must tread carefully, because so often, deep down, we're looking for something else. Some kind of recognition for ourselves. Some kind of applause. Some kind of name in the credits. And yet Jesus is calling us to an authentic faith in this chapter, to be authentic teachers of our faith to others. Teaching the faith to those whom we meet is not just charged to the pastors of the churches. It is a ministry of all the people of Christ's body. Each of you, along with me, are teachers of the faith. And our Jesus knew that we would teach most by our actions. Greg Carey on Working Preacher, which is a website I use for Bible commentary, said it like this, and I quote, "Authentic teachers do not promote their own status. It's not particularly common for professional teachers, whether pastors, professors, or others, to accept moves down the professional ladder. We all enjoy a prominent seat or a desk from which to pontificate. We all like our name in the credits, on the cover, or on the sign. But Matthew identifies authentic teachers as servants who seek neither promotion nor acclaim. Few of us fit that bill." That's a tough pill for me to swallow. I'm like a professional teacher of sorts. I have to ask myself, do I fit that bill? Am I an authentic teacher of the faith? Are you? So easy to allow our faith practice to become a source of vanity, a way to prop ourselves up and make ourselves feel good, a way to avoid dealing with the logs in our own eyes. It's so easy to miss what matters, to focus on our own way of being in the world, and that way of being is to be oriented toward God. So easy to miss either or both of those things. Because if we're worried about self-promotion, then we can't be in the business of God promotion. But here's the good news. I do have some. We claim a gospel of repentance and grace, which means we have the opportunity right now, right here, this morning, to repent of the times that we've missed what matters. For the times that we focused on others' shortcomings so that we didn't have to examine our own. For the times that we have focused on making our own recognition the goal instead of the glorification of our God, even in our faith practice. We can repent and ask forgiveness right now, and God will give it to us. God grants us forgiveness, for God loves us, each and every one of us. And by the grace found in Jesus Christ, God wants to fill us up with God's love and grace and send us out into the world where we might fill others up the same. God wants us to go into the world and take care of what matters and to do it all in the name of our God. Jesus needs authentic teachers of the faith. That's what the whole chapter is about. Jesus needs us, church people, to live and love just like he did. To take care of the weightier matters: justice, mercy, and faith. To be sure we're taking care of our personal relationships with God before we go instructing others in theirs. Jesus needs authentic teachers of the faith who are ready to extend forgiveness and mercy to others, just as we receive it from our God. To not stand in judgment or pat ourselves on the back as we feel better when someone else fails. Jesus needs authentic teachers of the faith who are in it for the glory of our God, who are in it for the glory of our God, not to gain glory themselves. He needs us to be servants, ready to give up any and all recognition for ourselves and to point people toward God and God's love. Jesus needs authentic teachers who don't miss what matters. And I believe that if we can be those teachers, then we will live outside of that expectation that church people are judgmental hypocrites. And so I think that leads us to ask ourselves this morning, where are we missing what matters? Where am I missing what matters? Where are you? God is ready to meet you there. God is waiting to offer you grace in that part of your faith journey. God is ready to challenge all of us to focus on what matters, living and loving like Jesus and doing it all for our God. By the power of the Holy Spirit and God's sanctifying grace, we can be authentic teachers of the faith. Are you ready? Or will you miss again what matters? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.